this community straight by them having dictatorial powers over it. All they're going to do is keep anybody from investing any money in here. And people are going to have to pay more and more taxes to continue what they got. And not only that, but the kids that we work so hard to educate over here, they won't stay in these communities because they have nothing to do. We'll do like we done years ago. We'll be exporting them to New York City and Buffalo or anywhere else that they can find work. And that's the sad part about it here. So I just don't know. I just feel that, that if something don't happen, that all these bad things are going to come about. I don't think I'm pessimistic either. I think it's these are facts, historical facts. They've happened in the past. I don't know why we should feel they ain't going to happen again.
No, I think you said it very well.
Yeah. Should I tell a story about Bisbee?
I want that very much.
Yeah. Well, after I closed the ski lodge, or after we started, we sold the farm or the dairy, and we started in the ski business, I filled my summers working for Doc Bisbee, who was a native of this community, and I think he must have got that nickname by working with his uncle. And everybody in the community called him Doc Bisbee. And when I was working for him, I guess he was over 70 years old, and he'd done a lot of community service. He used to help the scouts and the church auxiliary and the community clubs, and he was a mason. Anybody wanted a job done to help the community, he was there to help them. And in the store, we had a lot of people coming in, and of course, skiers were coming in then. And every year, there'd be changeover in managers or sales. And up in the Sugar Bush area, there was a ski chalet up there. They call it Shushbush. It was like a little motel and had 8-10 units in it. Most every year, they'd have a new manager. So this particular fall, this young man came in to see us, and he got to know Doc, and he wanted Doc to fix him up some keys because he was afraid that they lost a lot of keys in the past, and he was afraid every time Dick and Harry would have a key to the units. So Doc made him some keys, and he went up, left the store, and a few days later he come back, and he says to Doc, he says, "Say, Doc," he says, "some of them keys don't work very good." He says, "I've worked on them some, but I can't seem to get them to work proper." So he says, "I wonder if you have time, if I could drive you up there and bring you back, if you would just fix the keys up for me." So Doc says, "Sure," he said. So Doc went up to Sugar Bush to help the young man out. And the young man was married, and I think they was going to have their first child. And after Doc got back down to the store, he's telling me this story. And he says, "You know, Ed," he says, "when we was coming down, he was telling me about his wife that was about 6 months along, and he wondered if I would take her case." And I said, Doc looks at me and he says, "You know, Ed," he says, "we do about everything, but we're not going to take on maternity cases." So that's the way that went.
You were talking about his nickname. And
Doc Bisbee.
Yeah, but before, when you told me, I think you thought it had come, he helped his uncle.
I think his uncle was a veterinarian, and he had worked with his uncle, and he used to go out with him when he was a kid to the farms. That's why I understood it all came about. And they called him Doc Bisbee, and the name stuck with him. And down here, everybody knew him as Doc Bisbee. And he was a native of this area. He was born here, and he spent his childhood, part of his childhood in Barrie. And he knew Governor Davis very well, you know, from when he was a young man. Yeah. But he was a fantastic man, and he done a lot for this community. And these people are all gone now, and sometimes I think they're all looking for each other. But then we was talking about the stories. When I first came in the valley down here, Mahern, E.R. Mahern, had a country store, grocery store. And twice a week, they would get on the phone and call in the surrounding community to find out, to pick up people's grocery orders. Some people would call into the store, and if they didn't call in, I guess the store would check back with them. But they had one person, all he'd do, he had a van, and he would pick up all the orders on a given route, and then he'd go out through that community and deliver them. And there was one old gentleman up in East Warren called in one morning and put in his grocery order, and he said, "I would like a can of axle grease." And they delivered his groceries, and later on he called the store and he said, "I ordered a can of axle grease," he says, "to grease the wheels of my manure spreader, and you sent me X-Lax." He said, "I didn't want anything to fill the spreader up. I wanted something to grease the wheels." So they used to do that, but a few years later, they had to discontinue it because of the economy, I guess. But they didn't do enough business that way with the supermarkets coming in and all, evidently, to pay them to do it. Well, I hope so. I hope it didn't hurt anybody.
No, I don't think it hurt anybody. Did you get everything okay? Do you want that story about the vet again?
Yeah, the Doc Bisbee story.
What happened was, in the explanation of the name,
yeah,
it got lost because I asked the question.
Yeah.
Can you stand doing that again?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, great.
When I first moved to the valley here, we had a general store in Waitsfield on Bridge Street by the covered bridge. It was run by E.R. Mahern. And back in those days, a lot of these stores used to deliver groceries. And they had one man that picked up orders over the telephone, and every other day, and he had two, three different routes. And after he picked up the orders, he would put them together, and he had a van, and he put them in his van and go around through the country and deliver his orders. This was routine with him. One morning, he was filling out one of them orders, and there was a gentleman way up in East Warren, a farmer, and he ordered a can of axle grease besides his other groceries and stuff that he had ordered. And somebody had misunderstood him. And after they delivered the order, he called the store back and he said, "You guys sent me some X-Lax instead of axle grease." He said, "I wanted some grease to grease the wheels on my manure spreader. I didn't want something to fill it up with." So, you used to get, today, I guess you get the same kind of misunderstanding sometimes. Misinterpretations, I do. And in particular with our computers today, because if you get a number wrong, it throws the whole thing off. As a plumber one time, I thought I was ordering a white toilet. And it came in blue. And I said, "Why did it come in blue?" Well, he says, "On the end, you put a 6 instead of a 7. It had about 6 digits, you know.
The other one was, actually what they wanted was the Doc Bisbee story with the explanation of his nickname.
Oh.
Going around with the vet.
Oh, yeah. After we sold our dairy, I began work in the summertime at a hardware store in Waitsfield. And it was owned by Doc Bisbee and his son, Bob. Well, everybody in town called Clarence Bisbee Doc Bisbee. And I understand that when he was in the Barrie area growing up, that he went around with his uncle who was a veterinarian, and they got so they called him Doc, people did. And it was a nickname that stuck to him all his life. Well, working there in the store, we done about everything there was, and we used to make keys, do all kinds of plumbing. And one day this young man came down from Sugarbush, and he was the new manager for a chalet up there. They called it Shushbush, and they had 6-7 units, like a little motel units. And he wanted some keys made because he was afraid there was a lot of keys out and that anybody might go into the units at any time. So Doc made him up some keys, and he went home. And a few days later, he came back, and he says to Doc, he says, "Say, Doc," he says, "I went up there, them keys don't work very good." He said, "If you would go up and see if you can get them to fit, I'll drive you up there and drive you back." So Doc wasn't too busy, so he says, "Okay." So he went up, and he got all the keys fixed. Well, this new manager was a man that hadn't been married very long, and his wife was expecting it. She was about 6 months along. So after Doc got back down to the store, he came to me, and he says, "Listen, Ed," he says, "we do about everything here, but," he says, "this young man told me that his wife was about 6 months along, and he wanted me to take the case." And he says, I decided that we can do about everything, but we're not going to take on maternity cases." So he got the guy all straightened out, but this is one thing he wouldn't do for him. But everybody in town knew him as Doc, and I guess that stuck with him all his life. And it must have started when he was very young, evidently.
That's a great story.
But they did. People used to come in with old lanterns, golf shoes that the crux was gone out of, you know, and we'd have to put them in. And old pieces of equipment that come out of old houses, you know, dry sinks, or they'd want drains for that, or a cap to cover a drain up, you know, or a million little things that you couldn't buy or fix any other way. And we run a plumbing business and a hardware store, and we had a sheet metal shop, see? So we done a lot of these odds and ends for people.
I talked with his daughter, I guess it was Marion Wallace, and she said he was a great storyteller.
Well, Marion Wallace.
She was Marion Bisbee, I think.
Okay. Yeah, there were a lot of Bisbees around here, but I can't quite.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so. She might have known about him because the Wallaces lived down here, and the brothers were born and brought up down here. And they was about Doc Bisbee's age. See, but they might have known about it, see, but there were a lot of Bisbees around here. He had a lot of relatives around here.
Well, I think you're done. You've been just great.
Well, I hope it does him good, but I don't know.
It will.
Are we set?
Yeah,
are we
think
done?
We'll,
oh, okay.
We'll do.
Okay.
Maybe
I'm just going to move the mic back over.
Okay.
A bit, we're gonna do just a little bit of room tone, so we're just going to sit quietly for about half a minute, is all.
So you get some tape.
This
right,
is
exactly.
The editing,
just
know.
Completely silent.
Okay.
Thank you. you.
Yeah. But all you people are from Middleburg.
No, I am, and Evan's from Grand Isle.
Yep.
And Miles is out of Boston.
Oh, Bostonia.